News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
McGill, I'll turn around and go.
Are we talking
home
on the radio again? Hey,
yes,
you.
We are.
It's me and you. Hey, you and me. Are you ready for the second hour?
Yes, I am.
We're
going to
start this hour with an El Paso History moment. And it was produced by Melissa Sargent slamming the door, but this is for the El Paso History Alliance.
Wow, slamming the door. Good job.
Right, that's a good job. Anyway, here's your moment today. Is about the 1918 flu epidemic in El Paso.
El Paso.
The Spanish flu descends upon El Paso. On September 30th, 1918, El Paso Times headlines read, 40 cases of influenza among men in the district. But the Times reassured readers not to worry. It was only the common flu and not the ravaging Spanish influenza that was killing people by the thousands back east. By October 2nd, three Fort Bliss soldiers had died of the flu. But that didn't stop the Festival of the Allies, the social event of the season, complete with parade, floats, and a midway. El Paso health officials did discourage the use of dusters, feathered batons that festival-goers stuck under each other's noses to make them sneeze. And poor Mrs. Claiborne Adams, one of the organizers of the festival, collapsed with the flu on the festival's opening day. October 8th, now hundreds of new flu cases a day were being diagnosed, and a Times headline read, "Quarantine between Fort Bliss and El Paso discussed. Streetcars must not be overcrowded. Funerals banned, lodge meetings under lid, and Juarez takes steps to stop the epidemic." October 15, the call goes out for Spanish-speaking nurses and doctors to pay house calls in the barrio, and all army camps in the area are put under quarantine. November 9, 1918, Times reports, "Epidemic over. All places of amusement, churches, and public library to reopen. Flu vacation is over. Schools to open on Monday." El Paso had finally got a break for the long streak of bad luck. The Spanish influenza had ravaged the city, killing hundreds since early October. All is well. But danger from the flu, however, was not over, as demonstrated by a few pages from Sheriff Seth Orndorff's journal. November 12th, Maddie D. sick. Now have five of the family sick in bed with the influenza. The Spanish flu was not done with El Paso yet. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
La 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 la.
Oops, there we are.
And that's Bernie playing. What were you playing in that one?
I was
his violin.
My violin.
Violin.
I was fiddling around in the background.
Really good of you, Bernie, to do that.
You know, it's interesting.
And you play left-handed, don't you? What?
Yeah, I'm violin dexterous.
Whoa.
What I did was a few weeks ago, I was asked by an anchor from one of the TV stations to do some research and help him out with what he was putting together. And he ran this thing on a Friday night 2 weeks ago about the Spanish flu. And I found out so much information about that, how devastating it was worldwide compared to what we're going through right now. And the fact that El Paso, for instance, the military did not want to report the deaths from the flu because they didn't want the enemy to find out.
Of course not, yeah.
Yeah, but we did find out that there were 69...
And that was World War One going on.
Yes, it was.
At that moment.
There were 69 soldiers buried in 1918. They didn't list why they died, but that's the number that was buried in 1918. In 1919, they had only 12 burials, so it was winding down. And she was alluding to the fact that the city was off limits. The GIs were only allowed to go from the base to their home if they live off post. That was it. I mean, they had MPs downtown. They were arresting soldiers for violating the rules, so to speak. The bridges were closed. And when people talk about it being the Spanish flu, if you dig into the history of it, there was a farming community in Kansas that had a flu virus start there. They felt it jumped from the birds.
Like a bird
to
flu
a human.
Type, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And it was devastating. It killed almost everybody in the town. Well, they thought it was just about over. And that was when the war was starting up. Two young men who survived, they had, they didn't think they had anything wrong with them, were drafted. They went to Camp Funston, which is now Fort Riley. and they had the flu. And from them, it spread like fire, like I said, fire on the prairie to the people at the post.
All over the military.
Yeah, and then they ended up going to New York to process to go over to Europe.
Well, yeah, let's bring that here. Yeah, sure.
And it just kept spreading. Now, the only country that was not involved with the war at the onset was Spain, and it hit them very hard. And it hit them hard, and they talked about it freely in the newspapers on how sick everybody was. So the inference was, it's Spanish flu.
But it wasn't.
Actually started in Kansas.
No, it started Kansas.
And, and Martha Vera was in here, who actually got the coronavirus. But she was in here. Actually, not in here. She was on the phone talking to us on a radio show. And she was saying it was Portuguese, if anything, or something.
Portuguese.
It wasn't Spanish.
Don't blame those Spanish. It was darn Portuguese.
It wasn't Portuguese. They were drinking Matus, so they were.
There you go. Yeah. Now, if you want to get involved in the History Alliance...
Oh, well, you can talk to Bernie. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You guys were talking Matus wine, so
yes,
I got lost.
You got lost.
Okay, give Bernie a call at 915-581-7920 with history questions. Want to get involved in the Alliance? Just give us a holler. And Max Grossman does a great job on the Facebook page for the History Alliance, which is just amazing. History, art, pictures, all kinds of exciting things. And then you've also got another person. That's Barbara Given-Bainey.
BGB.
Yes, and her crew over there. Remember in El Paso when... Facebook page, and they've been going for a long time, and they've got way over 25,000. She's told me it's like 45,000, I think, or something.
She told me 33,000.
33,000. Okay. Well, give or take 1,000.
It comes and goes.
But it's still great. Yeah, there's still a lot of
people.
They
bury the rest of them in Concordia,
yeah,
I think.
And
standing up.
Yeah. People share their stories and pictures, and they have all kinds of things. Barbara does research. She's always popping up with stuff for us on the radio show. And
volunteers work with her to get that thing done. She's tireless, apparently. Ken Weiss is on there, and Barbara's the owner and chief admin, and another moderator is Craig Hayes. They got a lot of people work there.
Yeah.
Bernie Sargent's in the house. Talk about the flu epidemic, and it ended up people in Concordia.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we had a number of people in Concordia. Now, when they passed, they didn't put on the reason why they died. So we know that there was somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 35 people in 1919 buried at Concordia, some of whom probably died from the Spanish
Why
flu.
Why didn't they put how they died?
They wasn't listed on the journals that
we
have.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. And a lot of those were children because they were very susceptible to it. And one of the reasons why people think they were susceptible to it, you always hear this term herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
There was another virus that had gone through the world, literally, in 1889, 1890, called the Russian flu.
Right.
And people built up immunities to the flu, so they feel that these people now were adults. They weren't near as impacted as the youth. In 1918.
So this was all new virus to them, too.
It was all new to them. They didn't have the immunities developed.
And it was terrible in the children. It was terrible.
It was very fast. And it wasn't because of complications or the fact that they had other diseases. It was the flu that killed them.
Yeah.
And, I could talk for hours on it after all
you
the
You and I both have been doing this,
I know.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this little video we did on Fox is it was played down in San Antonio last week. So we got some coverage down there, too. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, El Paso's unique in the whole coverage thing.
They love us.
But also, move on to some more grave places. Because we've got, who is over at, you want to talk about the Northeast?
Yeah, we had a question from on a Facebook from Ben Avalos, and he wanted to know, what was the name of the small cemetery in Northeast El Paso at the corner of Diana and Alps? He says he remembers riding his bicycle by the cemetery, and especially when they were digging up the graves, and he saw the bones and the skulls. I'm like, what?
Jeez.
So that was pretty. Was that McGill, the Pauper Cemetery?
Yeah, that was
the
McGill Pauper Cemetery. It was actually founded in the late 1800s, and it was closed down in 2009.
There's still a big one out there in Northeast, on Dyer, right?
There's an evergreen out there.
Big
or
time.
Not, yeah.
Evergreen, too.
Yeah.
And it's got a mausoleum in it, and people like Eugene Thurston are in there.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of famous people in places like that. And also, okay, move on to another one. You've got other ones.
I mentioned that there were seven downtown. The very first one that we know of is what they call Campo Santo, which is located roughly where the baseball stadium is.
Okay.
And there was a handful of people, somewhere between 20 and 30 people buried there, including William T. Smith, Uncle Bill. He was one of the early founders, one of the early Caucasians that came to El Paso. He owned a lot of the ranch property he had bought from the Ponce family and had developed it. But he was buried there. And they moved those folks over to what was called initially Buckler Square across the street. And that's now where the Museum of History and the library are located. Now, there was also a section there that were military. Those graves, a lot of them came from the very first military cemetery, which was down across from where the old Butterfield Stage Building was, behind where the Meyer Opera House was in the 1800s.
What street now?
That would be between El Paso and San Antonio. No, not San Antonio.
El Paso and
Santa Fe.
Santa Fe.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Santa Fe off Overland. And they had buried there somewhere around 25 to 30 Confederate soldiers. When they came back from the battle in Glorieta and in the process of coming back from northern New Mexico after losing to the Grand Old Army, they were at that place. It was a makeshift hospital at the Butterfield facility. And when they passed away, they just took them across the street and buried them over there.
You'll be happy here.
Yeah.
They got no complaints.
Enjoy.
Yeah, no complaints.
They got no complaints. Now, one early cemetery that I found that I didn't even know about was called the Mundy Heights Cemetery. And that was up by the Mundy Park in Mundy Heights. And
Sunset Heights? And
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay.
And they had a handful of people buried there. There's only one person of note that they mentioned, because that was the only person that really had a tombstone of note. And she was let's just say, a woman of the evening. Her name was Emma.
She slept late.
Yeah, she slept late.
Yeah.
And she was buried there. And then ultimately, they moved her from there when they closed that cemetery down. Family, I think it was her brother, came here, got the remains, and took them to St. Louis and buried her there.
But phone's ringing.
That was the Mundy Cemetery. So those are two of them. Now, when Fort Bliss was developing their post on La Noria Mesa, they decided they were going to have a cemetery out there where they would intern military. And that's about the same time that they were trying to develop downtown. So they moved the military bodies, up to Fort Bliss, the new cemetery.
The current?
Right now. The current one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they moved the bodies up there. And we were alluding to the fact that we had a lot of Chinese buried in El Paso. We had 52 Chinese Air Force members buried at Fort Bliss.
Chinese Air Force?
Chinese Air Force. During World War II, they had volunteered because they wanted to fight the Japanese. So they came over here in large masses to learn how to fly planes. Now, most of them died at Luke Air Force Base in Arizona. They crashed there. And they would bring the bodies back here, and they would bury them because it was considered a national cemetery, a Chinese national cemetery, one of only two in the United States. So they
That's a lot of dead Chinese people.
They were learning to fly.
Oh, goodness.
Not too well.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
They were trying.
They were sending everybody over here, yeah.
So an interesting story I found in researching the Chinese Air Force here is that last year, May 17th, I think it was, they had somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 30 Chinese relatives of these Air Force members who were buried there that came to commemorate their relatives buried in the United States. And they had a big picture of all these the folks that came over from China to commemorate their relatives. Pretty interesting.
Stuff going on. Are you ready? Yes. Are you ready to hear a phone call?
Yep.
Not just from anybody. This is ROY. Roy, how's life?
Roy boy.
Hi there. How you guys doing?
Fine.
We're making it somehow. What are you up to?
Well, I just want to tell Bernie he forgot to mention the Pauper's Cemetery that's still out there behind McGoffin Elementary School.
That's the McGill.
I didn't hear you mention it.
Yeah, I know. You were busy ordering for lunch.
No, I never known it as McGill.
Yeah, it was McGill Pauper Cemetery.
Who is McGill?
McGill was a doctor back in the old days in El Paso. And he had
apparently not a good one.
Well, he had a lot of customers.
Well, you see his work, it's out back.
Pay your bill or you'll be there.
I didn't catch the name of it. So.
McGill.
Yeah, that was McGill Pauper Cemetery.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
later.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody had called and talked about that a couple minutes ago, or I should say Facebook.
Facebook question, yes.
But thanks for asking.
All righty. We'll see you later.
Pepe's one of the days. You take care. Thanks a lot. Pepe's is actually open a little bit, but you can't take reservations, so if you go out there, they may have to turn you away.
Ah.
At the moment.
They're taking reservations?
They're not.
Oh, they're not. Okay.
So, I mean, I actually went out there and ate in-house this week, and I was over at Amigos last week, and I'd go eat at Mission Del Rey, but they don't have any food.
Yeah,
and they didn't invite me, so I'm not going there. Anyway,
take a bag of chips with you.
You could take your own.
Yeah, take my own. Yeah.
Brown
sit
bag.
On one of those strange bar stools. Remember those? Have you seen those bar stools?
Yeah, ones like Chip has at his ranch.
Oh my God! Yeah. You know he's selling that.
The ranch?
The
Mile High.
Mile High. Is exiting his
portfolio. He's leased it out. and lease under with conditions to purchase. I was with Chip yesterday.
There you are.
And we were talking about that.
How is the old boy?
The old boy's doing fine.
He's still Chip.
He's still
Chip off the old buffalo.
There he is.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like him. He's fun to talk to.
Oh, he's a character.
He's a piece of work.
Do we dare bring him in here one day? I mean, he'd probably tear the place up.
Yeah.
You never know.
You could do that.
We're taking a break here. Bernie Sargent's in-house. We got the crowd in the control room acting nicely and taking phone calls.
They're being so good.
But you have to – oh, Facebook. We got the
Facebook
couple
page
of inquiries
going.
There already.
Yeah, we've been answering their questions today, so it's very good.
And so otherwise they can call on the telefono.
They can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Amigos!
Working together is what makes us stronger. That's why iHeartMedia is here to work for you in these days of uncertain times. You have a lot to take care of. Let us take care of getting your business back on track. We'll let customers know that you're here and you're ready. Call 1-844-BUY-RADIO. iHeartMedia is here for you. That's 1-844-BUY-RADIO. iHeartMedia. Call now.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help Now today at 800-833-0112. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help Now at 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-476-2471. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-476-2471. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-476-2471. 1-800-476-2471.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I just realized on that list she just read on the Flo Tolle on that open, we don't have Patrick Tuttle on that one.
Oh, no.
And they should be, because Patrick Tuttle is at 588-1850. That's his cell phone. Call him up and say, Patrick, I need some real estate.
Yes.
To buy, to sell, to
or
rent.
Or sell. You know, a lot of people, the market's really picking up for selling right now.
And if you could sell right now, you might do a good thing for yourself. Coming in here next week on May 30th, actually by phone, Cindy Milazzo. We talked her into it. And you and I are going to work with Cindy to talk about these authors that are all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And people are going to say, well, you forgot so-and-so.
There's too many, which is amazing when you think about it. Yeah. I mean, not many cities have as many authors as we do that are internationally known.
Well, what I did was I did a Google on El Paso history authors, and I got a certain list. I said, okay, that plus the Texas Western Press. And that's way too many people. So we'll get to as many as we can. But we're going to miss a few, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week on May the 30th. June the 6th, D-Day Plus. Bob Chisholm, who was actually in D-Day, mm-hmm. is still around doing stuff. He's going to review the military history on anniversary of D-Day. He was there. Talk about a private museum for El Paso military history. A lot of people have artifacts that might go in there. Roy will clean out two storerooms to put stuff in there, at least if ever gets there. Anyway, and we're going to bring on Prince McKenzie with him, Bob Chisholm, and both by phone. And Prince is helping develop the El Paso Military Museum Project. June 13th, Judge Bill Moody is our guest. He will explain the United States visits by presidents who came to El Paso.
Yes.
And there's been so many of them. I think the first one was in the 1860s.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of research on them.
Oh, he has.
Yeah, he really enjoys
it. He's actually
that.
Writing a book. He says he's turning it into a master's thesis. Good luck with that. But anyway, June 20, here's the right phrase for Patricia Kidney. She's our guest to portray historic figures in history of the West, including high-spirited and scandalous women.
Her multiple personalities
is
what it is.
She's got them all under one hat there. Some of whom were shady ladies.
It's crowded in there, too.
I bet it is. That's coming up here. What do you got?
Well, I got Frontera Land Alliance. El Paso's only 501(c) is a nationally accredited land trust, and it announced that it has received $5,000 matching donation in support of its work. Until May 24th, every dollar donated to Frontera will be matched by a dollar from their anonymous donor, up to $5,000. Thus, each donor's contribution to Frontera will be doubled. So donations can be made through the Frontera website at fronteralandalliance.org, or you could, email them through there. You know, just give them a call. I do not have their number here.
Well, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow's the deadline for that matching grant. Hurry up and get on the website.
Get your donation in.
So do that on the website.
Okay.
Bernie Sargent's here. Bernie, what do you have to say for yourself?
Self?
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier the other cemetery out by the McGill Pauper, and I called it incorrectly. It was actually Restlawn Cemetery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's 28,000 people buried out there on 78 acres. That started in 1927.
I think my dad's out there.
And
what's left of? No, I'm sorry. He's at Fort Bliss. It was my grandparents. Go
probably
ahead.
The most famous person there is Robert Ewing Thomason.
Oh, yes.
Judge Thomason.
R.E.
He's buried out there. R.E., yeah, you bet. Bobby Joe Hill, famous basketball player.
Boy.
He's buried out there. Margaret Evelyn Osborne DuPont.
Ooh, how'd we get her?
She was she lived here until she passed away. She was recognized as the world's best female tennis player, and she had actually won the world number one in, 1948. And so she lived here until she passed away. Very well known in the tennis world. And then also Frank Castillo, baseball player, who's buried out there. He played for the Cubs as well as some other teams when he was in his prime.
How many thousands are out there?
Right now there's 28,000 people buried out there.
A lot of people.
Yeah. And they're all dead.
All of them? How about at Fort Bliss? They're all dead. The people at Fort Bliss. How many are out there? Any idea?
There's a little over. Let me find that.
Fort Bliss, a bunch of folks out there.
Yeah, but nobody caps Concordia like 65,000 plus Manso Menos.
A few down the street we don't know about.
Under the freeway, maybe.
Probably under L&J. I think there's a few under there.
That explains
a few backyards.
No, they have found. They actually have found bodies outside the limits of the cemetery.
Yeah.
From time to time, I know when they were putting the lampposts along Stevens, they found a couple of folks out there too.
Yep.
So we just moved them inland or inside the walls and reburied them and had little ceremonies for them. It's a pretty interesting place that we have. Oh, can I talk about Concordia real quickly? One more thing. On the land there at Concordia, they had built a church. It was south of what is now the freeway, I-10. And they built that church, the Stevensons did, because people had to, if they wanted to go to a Catholic service, they had to travel either down to the missions or cross the river. So the Stevensons felt that it would be advantageous to have a Catholic church on this side more accessible. And so they built this church, and the first person buried there at the church was Juana Escarte Stevenson. Now, the church was active for a number of years, but unfortunately, when they buried a non-Catholic, that's when the bishop at the time said, "You are no longer sanctioned by the Catholic Church." I know.
Yeah.
And so for quite a number of years, all the way up to the late 1890s, they wouldn't have a Catholic priest perform a service there. And they had to wait until then. And then a new bishop came in and goes, no, we're going to open you back up.
It's a matter of choice, I suppose, per bishop.
Yeah, and the ceiling of that church lasted until 1936 when it finally collapsed.
Ugh.
And they ultimately tore it down. They had thought that there was lots of wealth buried, so people were going and digging up the floor. Oh, yeah. In Europe, I know when...
It's always been a case, yeah.
Yeah, they did a lot of their... They buried a lot of their wealth in the church with the bodies.
Oh, dear.
So people just thought that, they probably
didn't. Hence grave digging.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Because people are buried with jewelry and all kinds of things. So.
Yeah, I don't think you had that problem over in Smeltertown at Calavera, did you?
No.
They didn't have a lot of wealth to bury over there.
No.
But that's another one. That's now an official Diocese of El Paso Catholic Cemetery.
And it's also a state historic cemetery.
Several of those.
Yeah. So it's, that's very significant also. I'm looking for my numbers on Fort Bliss. I've got them here
somewhere.
We'll
have to look them up somewhere.
Yeah.
We should take a break, look them up, Bernie. We'll come back and talk about that.
Yeah.
Lot going on here in the burying of people. It's a big business. And we haven't gotten to Mount Carmel. I don't think that's another one.
I've got a little bit of information on that, too.
So there's more to go here. Yeah. Taking a break, shall we do that? Call us up if you need to.
544-KTSM or 544-5876.
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos!
Picture this scenario. A shortage of fuel has closed your electric utility, or any possible disaster has just devastated your town. You're out of power, no lights, and no news. That's why federal and state agencies urge every home to have an emergency radio. Now you can get a free Dynamo World Band emergency radio. This powerful radio lets you stay informed during any type of emergency. It doesn't even need batteries and comes with a hand crank generator and super bright LED flashlight. The Dynamo emergency radio includes the NOAA weather band, a long-range AM receiver, a high-sensitivity FM band, and even a USB jack to charge cell phones or other devices. The Dynamo emergency weather band radio retails for almost $30. But Newsmax wants to make sure you get this radio. So check out the free offer for the emergency radio by going to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com or call 800-NEWSMAX. This radio could save your life. This is a limited offer and may end soon, so order today.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563, and by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I'm going to have to fix those transitions because Patrick Tuttle needs to be on there.
I know.
588-1850. Ring up his pocket.
That's right.
That's his actual cell phone. 588-1850. Good stuff for real estate. All right, are you ready for this week?
I am.
This week only in El Paso, Inc.
The general contractor for El Paso's Amazon Fulfillment Center has been revealed. Construction on the massive facility, which will employ hundreds, is slated to begin this summer.
It's a tough conversation that many in El Paso are reluctant to have, but it has to be talked about. Will the Chihuahuas play ball this season? The answer is anything but certain.
Yeah. Amusement parks have not received the green light to reopen. How El Paso's Western Playland and Wet n Wild are staying afloat, preparing to open.
Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To order your copy of El Paso Inc., go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, host Saul Sines reports the governor of New Mexico says El Paso COVID-19 cases pose a risk to her state. Saul Sines asks the mayor of both Las Cruces and El Paso to weigh in.
Should El Paso be socially distancing from its neighbors to the north? Join host Saul Sines at ABC 7 Extra Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m.
We got a phone caller stirred up, but we got Bernie sitting here. You wanted to do Evergreen or Fort Bliss or which? Fort Bliss total was people?
50,000 plus. It's 82 acres.
82 acres full of people. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. You ready for Esteban?
Esteban,
you ready for us? Good morning.
Yes, sir. I got three questions, two to warm you up, and the final exam will be at the end.
Oh, boy. Ooh. Can hardly wait.
Who is the first funeral home recorded in local history in El Paso? Did it come from the Martin family, the Castor Maxon or Futrell family? Those are the two warm-ups, and then I'll hit you with the final exam.
Bernie, I'm looking to give this to Bernie. Bernie, Googling it quickly.
No, I wasn't.
No, you're not.
Something else.
What?
No, I'm guessing Maxon.
Maxon? Are we right?
No, I don't know.
You got to have the answer if you're going to ask it. We don't know. Maybe
he tricked us.
Maybe somebody
actually,
else.
Actually, there's a couple that came in before those that you mentioned, and I don't have the answer to that with me, but I certainly have it at home. If you check our Facebook later today, I'll have that answer on there for you.
There you go. Okay.
Now, have any idea what year that would be?
First funeral home in El Paso?
Well, more or less.
More or less.
Oh,
Maso
my
Manos.
Gosh. I mean,
it would have been about 18, probably 1880s, because that's when they really started burying
killing people
in earnest. Well, yeah. I don't know. I really don't. It's a good question.
When was the first one? That's a good question.
And you stumped us.
And the trivia prize is a free spot in Concordia. No, there aren't any more. There aren't any more spots in Concordia, are there?
No, it's active.
Is it?
Yeah, but you have to
Esteban,
be a relic.
There's still hope for you.
You have to either buy a plot from someone who has a family plot there or have the family plot and you can be buried.
Esteban, thanks for the call.
Well, I have a final exam question
all
for
right,
you.
All right, go for it, dude.
Whatever became of the legal battle concerning John Wesley Hardin's body and where it was buried?
Concrete.
Yeah, let's get concrete and iron.
My answer is a concrete cage on top of the grave.
There was a local judge that actually passed an edict that said he will not be moved. So they would have to take this all the way to the state Supreme Court to dig up whatever is left in the ground.
And they'd have to break up a lot of concrete.
A lot of concrete.
How's that for an answer?
Thank you, guys.
That one we
all
had.
Right, you take your easy. Thanks for calling, Esteban. Appreciate it. A lot goes on here in a given day. You never know who we are stirring up there doing what.
But see, he's thinking, and that's a good thing.
He is. You know, it's a good funeral homes.
It makes us think.
And maybe it could be. here's one for you. Perches. Don't forget. Perches.
Perches. Perches. Yes.
I like the way they say that.
I'm familiar with them, that they worked with us with my mom and dad.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. And my mom.
And your mom. Yeah.
And my mom and dad and your mom and dad. Yeah. Not my mom and dad. Yeah. But, okay, enough. To the Evergreen. Talk about the one on Alameda.
Alameda.
That's famous people over there.
There's a lot of famous people.
There are people who think that's the most famous cemetery in El Paso. Are they right?
It's kind of up in the air. It depends on what you call fame. I know that they didn't want to bury any of the ladies of the evening over there because these were the proper people from El Paso that were buried there. Yeah. And it's there is a lot of famous people buried at Evergreen. I found a tombstone there that had said that the person buried there survived the Titanic.
Wow.
Which was kind of interesting to read. And we've got Bass Outlaws buried out there, famous Texas Ranger.
The guys you know about, the guys shot.
We know about, yeah.
The lead poisoning people.
Yeah. And just to mention two people, but yeah, it was, and it's still active. I'm looking for my numbers on that.
I presume the Pose are there. They owned
it. Yes, the Pose owned it. They don't own it anymore.
Right.
It has been sold, but yes, there's a lot of Poe folks there.
Poe folks, yeah. P-O-E. Mm-hmm. Oh, I moved down the valley a bit. What else you got over there?
Well, we La Isla.
Way down the valley.
Way down the valley. That particular piece of property, which at one time was south of the river, then became north of the river when the old river trail or river passage moved and permanently stayed south. La Isla is interesting in that it's a Texas historical cemetery. It also, when the flu epidemic, which we talked about earlier in the program, occurred, they reported 35 people in La Isla died in 24 hours because of the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
And so they're buried there also at that cemetery. We don't know. There might even be more people buried there than there are at Evergreen or Concordia.
Well, if it's like a lot of places were during the Spanish flu, a lot of people were just pushed into mass graves because they just didn't have the capabilities. People were all sick or they were dying, so they had one big mass grave, and people, they aren't even marked. People still don't know where a lot of their family is. So.
Yeah. Well, that particular cemetery was opened in the 1880s.
Why was it called La Isla?
The island.
But how, explain that.
Well, it was an island. There was actually two channels for the river. The main channel was north of it, so it was literally in Mexico. But when that channel dried up, which happened from time to time, they finally permanently blocked it, and it became south of there, so it became part of the United States. But in the interim, it was an island.
But they wrote the treaty. It was the Hidalgo Treaty?
Yeah.
They wrote the treaty that the deepest channel in the Rio Grande, the center point, is the boundary. Mm-hmm. Well, when the river got a notion to move, there went the boundary.
No.
And they had 100 years of problem that ended up being the Chamizal settlement.
Yeah, and there was another.
That's how that all turned out.
There was I have a friend of mine who is a part Apache Indian, and he was saying that his family were very happy that the lines were drawn the way they were, because at the time that they drew the lines, there was still a bounty on Apache scalps.
Oh, dear.
And so they were in the United States, not Mexico, so they didn't have a bounty.
Oh, so it goes. We stirred up somebody, 544-5876, brought us Sam. Sam, how goes it?
Oh, great. How are you?
Surviving nicely. How about what's new on your world?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you that a notable family in Evergreen on Alameda is is Tom Lee's father and mother.
Right.
And his wife, his first wife, Nancy, is buried there.
Now, where's Tom, the artist?
Tom and his second wife are buried in Austin in something called Texas State Cemetery.
There is a monument to them there, but I have a notion, from what I've heard, they were scattered on Franklin Mountain.
Who?
Tom Lee, the artist.
His ashes. That's correct. That's correct.
But there's a monument to him in Austin.
But there is a monument. You're right.
You know, at one point, bless their hearts, up on the tramway, they used to promote weddings up there. Then they started promoting dumping ashes off the side. And this was years ago. I pointed out to them, they think that's against the law, and so they quit doing it. But the weddings were okay, but you can't dump ashes without a permit, I don't think. That's just what I hear.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling,
well,
Sam.
Well, unfortunately, Nancy's very, very minimal, modest marker is the eroding just from water and weather, I think. It's really very sad. Hers was a sad loss anyway, in that she was only like 30 and died of appendicitis in El Paso.
Well, thanks for the call. Thanks for the info.
You bet.
You take her easy. We stirred up more people. Bernie, you ready for some more?
Let's go.
This one's named Raul. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine, Raul. How are you?
Just fine. I'd like to ask you history experts, what year did El Paso become a majority Mexican-American community?
Probably day one. I don't know.
I mean, in the beginning or now?
I've heard people say that it was predominantly an Anglo population till somewhere around the end of World War II, maybe?
No.
I'm not sure. That's why I thought I'd ask you that.
No way, Jose. No,
I think, unfortunately, what happened over time is people just didn't count the Mexican or the Mexican descendants here. And they didn't have the authority, the power, the recognition that the Caucasians had. So the inference was that the Caucasians were the predominant population.
I don't think so.
But I don't think so.
I think day one it's been a population of mostly Mexican-Americans. Mexicans.
I would have thought so also.
Yeah.
But, like I said, who would know?
Well, I think maybe also, though, you have to look at the situation. A lot of the Mexicans did not live on this side. It was basically, who was the first ranch?
Ponce,
yes. Yeah. He came across, nobody had been living over here except Native Americans and such. So it might have been a combination that they came over to work, because a lot of the Anglos were moving here to live on this side, where the Mexicans still lived on the other side. So I don't know. I mean, it's a question, but I think Bernie's right on the sense it was probably.
And then the river moved and kept claiming more Mexicans.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute.
Ta-da!
It could be one of those myths then, like the myth that some of these New Mexicans believe that they're like pure Spaniards. You know, you'd ask people, when I was growing up here, some people would ask me, what are you? I'd say, well, I don't know. My parents never really talked about it. And I would say, we're Spanish. You know, I said, well, really? Golly.
Well,
grandparents Spanish from Spain, or your great-grandparents?
Up in Albuquerque, there was a whole society of Spaniards that, of course, went up on the Oñate. They refused to mate with the locals, and they stayed amongst themselves for decades. So not too far from being the truth. I've talked to people in this modern world today to say they're Spanish, and they are descended, you know, and I don't, how can I agree with them? I don't know.
Wasn't it the case that the Spanish women didn't want to come to the New World, and it was predominantly men, and they, you know, immediately
Get on a ship and sail for how many weeks, and
they
had crammed it?
They had a bunch of Spanish women here. They did.
Most of the Spanish women that came over on the ships were the spouses of the empresarios and the
soldiers,
officers,
a bunch of women showed up. It wasn't just local women.
No, but I imagine I wouldn't have wanted to come over. So you want to go where?
Well, I don't want to be any part of that. I just want to read about it.
Is there a ladies' room on this boat?
There's a ladies' room.
Well, to maintain that pure Spanish blood throughout the centuries would have been kind of tough, you'd think.
I would think so, but some people claim to have done it. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Thanks
a lot, Raul.
Raul, what I'm going to do, though, is sometime this weekend, early next week, I'm going to go on the oldest city directory that I can find. It will probably be dominant Caucasian. But like Melissa was alluding to, a lot of these people either didn't have addresses here, or there's a whole lot of them living in one house, but they only listed one resident.
Yeah.
But I've seen in some of those directories, they did list Hispanic people.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of them.
Was it the majority is the question?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, it's unique that how it was handled. Yeah.
All right, we stirred up another one named George. George, got you on the radio. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I have a couple of comments to make. First of all, that person that was talking about being too Spanish, what I like to tell people is, if you've got 80 to 100 Spanish soldiers, and in the group there's only about 5 or 6 Spanish girls, those little inditas look real good.
Yes, sirree. I think I understood. Your phone's...
George, is this from firsthand knowledge?
Yeah, George knows it all. Your phone's, your phone sounds kind of weird, but I think...
Well, it's on my cell phone. I don't know how to hold it, but anyway...
That's better.
What I wanted to tell you regarding that is that when most of us Hispanics that do our DNA, we find that we're like 20 to 30% Native American, okay?
Yeah. Right.
All right. What I wanted to really talk to you about is that in 1917, my grandfather, Felipe Candelaria Sanchez, brought the family from Lincoln County to San Elizario. Okay, now, they had 7 boys and 3 daughters, okay? Now, Antonio, the oldest of the son, he happens to be Vince's grandfather, okay?
Okay.
And my father, Abraham, is one of the 7 brothers. But what I wanted to tell you was that one of the brothers, Cipio, and one of the daughters, Celedonia, she was about 12 years old, and Cipio was in his early 20s, they died in 1918, so I think that they died of the Spanish flu.
The flu.
Yeah.
Your family's famous for the wrong reason. Thanks a lot,
and
George.
Anyway, there were 2 daughters remaining, and one of their daughters, Cornelia Sanchez, married Alfonso Borrego. And all those Borregos in San Elizario, they're related to me. That Cornelia is the grandmother or the great-grandmother.
You know, it's interesting what you say, George, is they were migrating from New Mexico back into this area. They probably went up with Oñate, the originals, no?
Yes. I've done the genealogy all the way to some of my ancestors came in with Oñate.
They all got fed up with Albuquerque and started coming back.
But I wanted for... Bernie to comment on, I've heard a rumor that in Clint, they buried the Spanish or Mexican people separate from the gringos. Is that correct?
Who knows?
I've heard that also, but I've not seen any proof of it. But, you know, back in the day, there was so much problem down there between the Anglos and the Hispanics. It wouldn't surprise me.
It's a weird world. We're much better now, George. We can all get the virus at the same time.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for ringing up.
We can all share it, yes.
You take your easy. It's interesting what he said about migrating from New Mexico back into Texas, because they went up with the Oñate caravans, no doubt, over time. But did you know La Luz, New Mexico, just between Alamogordo and Tularosa, that was settled from the north. Mm-hmm. It was not settled from the south. And then Alamogordo didn't exist at the time.
Yeah.
Interesting history there. Taking a break here, 544-whatever.
5876 or 544-KTSM.
Nature Valley brings that satisfying crunch that gets your family going again with real delicious honey and whole grain oats. So get out here. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. The original crunch.
Here's to working people. The builders of things, the fixers of stuff, the movers and shapers of the land. You're good people. We just want to say thanks. Northern Tool and Equipment. Quality tools for serious work.
I wasn't feeling great, so I searched my symptoms on Google, and now I'm being followed by really uncomfortable ads. I hate feeling like my personal data is being bought and sold. I got DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. Take back your privacy online with DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help Now today at 800-833-0112. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help Now at 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but you thought it'd be too hard or take too much time? Then go to Babbel.com, download the app, and try it for free. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. And right now, you can try Babbel for free. Babbel starts out teaching you words and phrases by matching them with pictures. You won't believe how easy the interactive program is. Soon the sentences get a little bigger, and before you know it, you're having simulated conversations voiced by native speakers. And because Babbel is crafted by language experts and uses the spaced repetition method, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking the language of your choice with real confidence. With Babbel, you can speak a language. Just go to Babbel.com and start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com and try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563, and by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got Bernie here still. You got Tooth and a caller. Go ahead, Bernie.
Okay, yeah, there's a couple more cemeteries to talk to very briefly because we don't have a whole lot of time left. One is Mount Carmel.
Oh, yes.
And I think most everybody's familiar with Mount Carmel down on Zaragoza. What I did find out was, in fact, I found this out a couple of years ago. One of the donors, the land donors, was a guy named Jesus Buñuelos Lira. He was a relative of Oñate. And really? he had a lot of farming ranch down there, and he donated property for Mount Carmel Cemetery. He also donated some property for the school down there. And we have a bust of him at Keystone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because of his granddaughter had contracted John Hauser to put together a bust of him and her father. Her father was a pretty well-known baseball player back in the day in the area.
Cool.
And because his grandfather had so much influence on the history of El Paso, they wanted to put a bust for him. She wanted to put it over at the baseball park because of the baseball relationship, but they turned her down. So she came to us and asked if we would be interested because of the Oñate connection.
We being Keystone.
We being Keystone Heritage Park.
Keystone and is Bernie.
Well, there's a bunch of us. Anyway, the other one I wanted to mention, the San Elizario, which initially was next to the church.
Uh-huh.
But then they, in 1871, the district judge said, you can't bury people here anymore. So they opened up the cemetery just a little bit north and west of San Elizario.
And that's the one Alborego's been cleaning up. I've been seeing it on Facebook.
Yeah,
you've been
taking
the weeds out.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, straight up a caller named Pat. Pat, got you on the radio. What's up?
I just wanted to say the more reason that there's Spanish surnames is because when Porfirio Diaz, the president, 1910, 1913, kicked all the foreigners from Mexico, all the Spaniards that were in the north of Mexico came this way.
That's true. Quite a few.
One of them being my grandfather.
A lot of people. Now, if you had money, you went to Sunset Heights. If you didn't have money, you went to South El Paso. That's what I heard, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what happened.
That's why there's
so many surnames.
You're right. There was a huge influx I forgot about that. But you wouldn't forget about that, would you?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No.
And is your family history always been in that area, or did you move around? Where do you live?
Yes. No. My grandfather went to Spain and came back, and then went back to Chihuahua City. And then we came to Juarez, and after my parents married.
Well, do you claim to be Spanish or Mexican?
Yes. No.
Spanish.
Spanish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's another one right there. All right. Well, thanks for ringing up with that. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care, Pat.
A lot of people have this Spanish in them, and that's what they say. But the general concept of a Mexican would be a Spanish and a Native American, and the term for that would be mestizo. Mm-hmm. That's a mix of people, whatever.
Mix up.
And that's not a nasty thing.
That's what we need to call our dogs.
Mestizo?
Mestizo is ones we don't know what their breed is.
Well, there you go. Or a mutt. No, don't go there.
No.
Bernie Sargent.
Sometimes I call him something, but I won't repeat that.
it's something with an itch in it.
It's called
shut
up. But
don't go there, Bernie.
I will not.
No, but Bernie, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Come back and that pile of papers I gave you, thumb through that. Come back in maybe July. We'll talk more about it.
Sure. Some of these people are buried at Evergreen and over at...
Okay. And also, there's a lot of interesting information about El Paso mm-hmm. history floating around. You will finally find a lot of it going through this here radio show.
Yeah.
And
I want to put out, Memorial Day, you can go out to the cemeteries, practice social distancing, of course, but you can go out to the national cemeteries as well as Concordia and the others if you want to go ahead and say hello to the vets and thank them for their service.
Just don't schedule a party. I think that's what they're up to.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that, so... Anyway, is the music coming here, Andrew, any minute? No, it's not, huh? Oh, you're going to change the number on me? Oh, he was having another minute and a half here coming. So, Bernie, another minute and a half.
Yeah, we were talking about Memorial Day.
Right.
We do at Concordia every year honor the soldiers that are buried there. The most senior soldier buried at Concordia is Moses Carson.
Oh.
That was Kit Carson's oldest brother. He taught Kit how to be a mountaineer. He also was a Mason. And he was buried initially downtown, and when they closed that little cemetery downtown on San Antonio and moved them up to Concordia, they put him up in the Masonic section.
I told you, the show we did on Masons, that was not kidding. Those guys were everywhere back in the day, and they helped settle the West.
Tremendous
influence. One town at a time,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And it's because of their history that they knew how to do stuff.
Yeah.
It's an amazing group of people.
So we have a number of Grand Old Army folks buried out of Concordia, as well as Confederate soldiers.
Right across from L&J Restaurant, shall we say.
There you go.
But let's also talk about Amigos down the street.
Yeah,
that's one of our sponsors. And then Pepe's up there in the Upper Valley.
Go see
those people. Mission Del Rey's a good crowd to go buy stuff from online, mm-hmm. missiondelrey.com. And Patrick Tuttle. What's that phone number for Patrick Tuttle? 588. I don't have it. 1850.
There
Call up his pocket. Andrew, thank you in the control room. Andrew J. Polk. Shelley Sutherland, appreciate it. It's next week, Melissa.
Next week we'll be here.
We'll see you back here, and we'll talk about authors in El Paso.
Books.
See you then.
Read up.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News.